Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 149 on November 24th, 2016, Thanksgiving Day, Turkey Day. So, oh yes, saving the world one ass at a time, let's not forget that part. But let's go right off into what I'm thankful for. Friends, family, toy makers, lube makers, patrons, BDSM toy makers, where I live, all you people who listen, all you people who write me, all you people who are willing to do interviews with me, men who love to be pegged, women who love to peg them, cuddles, massages, good food, good drink, that about covers it, at least for now it does. So let me thank a couple of patrons, a couple of new patrons that I have. Alrighty, I have three new patrons. Trooper has pledged $5 a month. Thank you so much, Trooper. Johnny1978 has pledged $3 a month. Really appreciate that, Johnny1978. And PF is contributing $1 per month. Thank you so much, PF. Thank you all three. Really appreciate it. And definitely that is something I am thankful for, is my patronage. That's allowing me to spend more time to do these podcasts. And here I am back again with another one. So, hey, everybody, I have another interview for you. I'm really happy to have Mark come to the show. And so welcome to the podcast, Mark.
Thank you.
It's really great to have you. And I so appreciate you being willing to come and answer all these questions. I'm always a little bit blown away when people say, sure, I'll come and answer all these really personal questions. So I so appreciate you being willing to do this.
I'm glad to be here and I'm excited.
Awesome. So let's start out with the basics. Tell me just, you know, married, single, relationship and stuff like that. What's your status?
I'm currently in an open relationship. I'm not committed to anyone, just open relationship, and we have fun together.
Nice. And so how would you describe your sexual orientation?
I would describe myself as straight, but I do have bi-curious tendencies.
Got it. And how did you get interested in pegging?
Well, the community that I'm in a FetLife community, and the subject was brought up. In fact, the very first night that I went to a munch, the word pegging came up, and I had no clue what it meant.
Ah.
And then when I found out what it meant, I just said, no way, that's this taboo. But then through time, meeting different women that enjoy doing that or were talking about violating my ass, you know, I started to get kind of curious about it. And did a little research, did some reading on Pegging Paradise, and got to see other people's views on it.
Nice.
And I kind of had to try it out a little bit on my own.
Nice.
So I did.
So if you had, like, you know, you used the plural, women wanting to violate your ass. Right now, I'm imagining the men listeners out there just going, damn it, how does this guy get a bunch of women wanting to violate his ass? So I'm assuming you probably have a nice ass, even though that's a personal question.
I've been told. You know, that's what I've been told. I work out. I ride my bike, you know. And
nice.
Try to stay in shape. Try to keep the bubble ass, you know.
Very nice. And so I know that we got in touch when you had your first time. And so how long ago was that?
My first time was approximately 3 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And it came about when I met my current partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I had mentioned the part about, you know, the women wanting to, you know, peg me and this and that. And
uh-huh.
Her eyes lit up. She was like, really? And she goes, I've always wanted to do that. I'm
sweet.
Like, huh, okay, another one, you know. But we had grown a little closer and decided to give it a try.
So, how long had you been going out with your partner when this all came about?
It had been about a month.
Okay. And were you willing to kind of explore into that territory because of that closeness?
Yes. Being that it's, something that's intimate like that, I needed to have some sort of relationship with that person. I wasn't going to just, do it with anyone.
No Craigslist? Dude.
No Craigslist, none of that, no Plenty of Fish, and I felt that she was the right one to start with because it was her first time and it was kind of my first time too. So things would go nice and easy.
Sometimes that's really cool because the first times with pegging are many times filled with silly things, funny things, and also awkward things because you're switching roles. So it's really nice to be with somebody that you've already developed a certain level of closeness and trust with, because that awkwardness, it's good when you just were with someone who will laugh with you, you know?
Correct, yeah.
Nice. And so you introduced it to her. Did you guys kind of do research and explore about it together?
No, but I did, well, yes, in a way. I told her about the Pegging Paradise site, and she did some reading on it as well. So she came into it kind of already knowing a little bit of technique, just by reading. And
I'm all proud. It's like, all right, I'm putting out some good information out there.
yes, you are. And I learned a lot about the different positions and just things you can do to make it more comfortable for yourself, So after doing that with a harness that we, a cheaper harness that we got, we enjoyed it so much that we had to invest in higher quality things that we also got from the Pegging Paradise site. The reviews there are awesome, and the products that you recommend are just they're perfect.
Well, thank you. So, can I back you up a little bit?
Yes, you can.
And no pun intended. And my question would be, previous to you two exploring this, had you done any kind of self-play and checked it out yourself to kind of see if this was an area of your body that you received pleasure from, or what about that part?
Yes, I had. I had purchased a small toy, and I would try that out while masturbating and stuff, and it just
Nice.
increased the sensation. It would help me ejaculate quicker. It was an amazing feeling. I get goosebumps,
Wow. That's
Yeah.
so cool. And
Yep.
so then it was like, okay, this is a go.
Correct. Yeah, and that's why my curiosity piqued. I was like, all right, I'd like to try this without me being controlled, with someone else doing it to me.
Yeah, that element seems to be a real important one for most men, is being the one who's driving the bus, to not have to do that, to actually have
Right, it's a
somebody
lot of
else.
work.
Yeah. So you just kind of like blew past the whole first time thing and started talking about equipment. And I want to go back to the first time and get some details about it, if you're willing to share that.
Of course I am.
So kind of tell us the story about how it went. What kind of foreplay did you guys do? And tell us the story.
Well, we started out with performing a massage. I gave her a massage first, and then when it came to me, she would massage me, and she would, slowly put her finger in my ass and kind of just massage me. It was a great massage, and we only had the small toy that I started out with, which is a little Tantus thing. So she massaged me. She got me all kind of warmed up and relaxed. That was the biggest thing. It was for me to relax.
Nice.
And then when she was getting ready to enter me with it, and I had learned this previously with my self-play, that the on the tip, it's a little bit bigger than the shaft on there. So that part, I really liked to get that part in quickly. And then once that was in, it was like a relief, So I told her this. We communicated beforehand, so that's what she did.
Perfect.
But even though when she got there with it, I tensed up, you know, which made it a little more unpleasant in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But once we got past that part, it was amazing. I mean, goosebumps, just the tingling all over my body.
Right. So she had you like face down doing a massage on you. Did you stay face down for that first time?
I stayed face down, but eventually what I did is I moved off the massage table and put my feet on the ground and I was bent over for her.
Uh-huh.
So
standing and then, over and bending over it. Very nice.
Correct. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great too. But the best part for me was getting on top of her and being in control.
Oh, wow. So that was kind of like the last position that you tried?
True. Yes.
Uh-huh. And why did you like it the best?
Because I was able to control the motion because she was getting a little excited and wanted to go a little faster and harder. And I don't think I was quite ready for that yet.
Nice.
So, yeah. So she was, you know, we had some, communication going too, you know, I was telling her to fuck me and this and that.
Uh-huh.
So that kind of got her going and I was like, okay, time to slow down. And
she's like not having it.
Yeah, she wasn't having it. She was like having too much fun. So the thing that she said, you know, when I was on top of her is just the look on my face and the sound I made, you know.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, she was like, that was amazing.
That's exactly what I love. That's so cool to hear. It's funny. I expected you to say that the last position, you know, you got on top of her and did what I call cowboy, because, you know, it's not cowgirl because the guy's on top. I call it cowboy, is because maybe she was getting tired. But, you know, that's not happening from what I'm hearing. It's like, no, she's
doing
harder and faster.
She wasn't tired at all. I wanted to end on that position because I wanted her to jerk me off, and then I wanted to come all over her. So
nice.
And, yeah, and I wanted to try different positions. So, you know, that was the first time we experimented quite a bit. We tried different positions.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that was your favorite?
That was my favorite, yes. But it was my favorite then, but now I'm starting to learn that, you know, I'd like to try maybe the bent over position, but it would be very nice to have another partner there to stroke me while she's fucking.
You're going pretty quickly to adding one more partner to this.
I mean, that's just, you know, those are the things that go through your mind when you're doing it. You're like, oh, man, it feels so great to have a hand on my cock right now, you know?
Yeah, and reach-arounds are possible, but they're difficult. They are.
Yes, yes.
So that is actually a position I recommend for beginners all the time. But actually, the reason I recommend it is because it takes no skill for the woman. She can just lay there and also... Not just that, because, you know, initially women usually tire out more quickly, even though it sounds like your partner did not. But also, they just, most of the time in the beginning, women don't really know how to move. So it's a little bit frustrating for them. So even though that wasn't the case with you, the other part of why I recommend that position is because the guy has total control over how quickly he penetrates himself, how deep, the angle, the speed, everything.
Yes.
So you can, you know, move your body around on top until you find exactly that right place that feels really good.
I totally agree. The being on top is awesome.
Nice. So what was like the best part of the experience for you that first time?
The best part was not having to, let me back up. A lot of the times when I did it on my own, previous to that, you know, it's just, you have to sit on it, you have to just hold it, and you're trying to masturbate at the same time. It was kind of tricky. Being that someone else was doing it to me and I could just relax, was great. You know, I could just relax my muscles and just go off into my own little world and enjoy it. You know,
nice.
Like I said, the goosebumps and the chills that I got and stuff were just amazing.
Mm.
And the feeling, you know, the feeling, we used plenty of lube, but at times it would get a little rigid, kind of, so you would feel the movement in segments, you know? I don't know if I'm explaining that correct, but you'd feel it kind of moving in instead of sliding.
Yeah,
And
sort of like it's sort of like when things start to do the little abrupt skids as opposed to sliding smoothly.
yes. That feeling there was awesome. Because, I mean, you only feel it if you're going really slow. But when you are going slow and you feel that, it was just an amazing feeling.
Wow. So did anything happen that first time that you totally didn't expect? Anything that caught you by surprise?
Well, I guess the biggest surprise was, well, it shouldn't really have been a surprise, but how much she enjoyed it too.
Oh,
You
wow.
know? I mean, for me, I kind of knew what I was, the feeling I was going to experience because I had tried it on myself already. I mean, the feeling was a lot better with her doing it, but her enjoyment just, it made it that much better. You know, it created a tighter connection between both of us.
Yeah, there's been guys I've talked to who have said that the enthusiasm is such an amazing factor. And of course, enthusiasm is an important factor, even just with regular straight fucking. And you want an enthusiastic partner. So it seems like because of all of the fears and misconceptions and the taboo thing, that more women, unfortunately, approach it with a bit of trepidation and they're not really sure if they're going to like it. Maybe they have fears of their performance because they don't know what they're doing. And there's all kinds of things that go through women's head. And they've shared these things with me and I've written about it. So to find someone who's truly enthusiastic from the get-go is really quite a gift. That sounds so fun.
Oh, it is. It is. In fact, we have moved on from the first experience and purchased more things, and I've actually graduated to bigger toys that I never thought I would go to.
Wow. So let's talk about equipment a little bit. You said you mentioned that you had kind of a small Tantus thing in the beginning. And so what have you gotten since then, and what have you enjoyed?
Well, the harness that I purchased was the, and I purchased it for her, was the spare parts, the joke harness.
Yeah, I call it the Jacques. I don't know how they pronounce it,
Jacques,
but
yeah,
it sounds
French.
better than joke.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say Jacques. Jacques. And then I got the Vixen Mustang.
Yeah, and that's a good size toy.
Yeah,
That's a
and.
dual density toy as well, though, so it's got that softness.
Right. It's very nice. I mean, I still use the Tantus at times because that one hits the spot better. But the Mustang is just a very nice feeling, and she enjoys watching that go in and out. So.
And so let's see. I don't believe that I can recall that the Mustang is sold in anything but the realistic type of color, correct?
No, it's mine is actually pink.
Oh, so they started selling different colors. That's awesome. So you guys decided on pink.
Yes. Yeah, I let her pick it out so she wanted the pink so she could see it very clearly.
There's just something so fun about watching a pink dildo slide in and out of a guy's ass, I gotta tell you.
I guess I've never seen it personally, but but I've felt it. It
She
is
could
so
fix that by
incredible.
using her phone and taking a video, you know.
There you
I
go.
just thought I'd suggest that. So,
I will let her know about that.
so now you mentioned that the smaller one hits the spot better. Is that because it's firmer or because it's curved or why?
A little bit of both. It's firmer and it is curved and it's
I'm thinking there's a Tantus Acute. That's a pretty small.
that's what it is right there, the cute.
Yeah. So you had the Tantus Acute, and that one is fairly small. It's not that long, but it's a firm silicone and it does have a little bit of a curve to it.
Yeah, and that
That's.
one just it hits the spot perfect. It feels great, it's smooth, you know, it's just easy to clean, all that good stuff. So
So are you one of those guys that while she's fucking you, and she's hitting that spot perfectly, are you one of those guys that have a hard time keeping your hand off your cock, or you just really want to sink into the feeling of what's happening in your ass?
A little bit of both. It just depends on the moment, but most of the time I'm just absorbed into the feeling, you know. And it's almost like I orgasm without actually coming, you know. And that's happened a few times. I'm like, oh, I'm going to come, I'm going to come, and then, you know, nothing happens, but the feeling was there. You know,
Yeah,
the
that's a
feeling of having
prostate
the
orgasm.
orgasm.
Yep.
Yep.
So that's really cool that you've already managed to have that experience, even though you just started like 3 months ago. Because some guys work and work and work for that, but it's the same thing with women with G-spot orgasms. Some women can
Okay.
have them fairly easily, and some guys can have prostate orgasms fairly easily. So good for you.
Yeah, that was an intense feeling, and I've kind of felt ripped off that I didn't, actually have come, but at the same time, the feeling was amazing.
And when that happened to you, did you keep fucking or did you kind of call it a day?
After that happens, kind of got to slow down, take a little break, and then go again.
And then go back to
Oh yeah. Yeah, I got to take a little
it.
break. It's a lot of stimulation. You know, I mean,
Yes.
it's overwhelming at times.
Yes, indeed. That's what
You
I've been told.
know.
And I've watched guys go through it too, and what I like to do is just do the sort of hand on the chest because I like fucking them in a position where I can see them. And so, hand on the chest and sort of like, okay, just stay with that for a little bit and relax and enjoy that feeling. And I just don't move and then give them about a minute or two and then start fucking again. And so many times when they've had that prostate orgasm and with no ejaculate coming out, they're so surprised that I can keep fucking them and that it still feels really good because you really can keep going and going and going. So, okay, another question. Have you had yourself had any thoughts of being less masculine yourself, or have you wondered what your friends would think about it as far as you exploring this?
Well, as far as feeling less masculine, no. I don't have that feeling, after reading and learning about how many people enjoy this, and it doesn't change that for me. As far as in the community that I'm in, and people knowing, I'm pretty particular in who I let know. I only share it really with the people that I know that are open-minded about it. Especially the guys, the women, I have, a few women in the community that know that, I have that curiosity where I do that. And then as far as men go, I'm sure some people have figured it out, but, as far as coming straight out and saying that, I love her, I don't talk to my guy friends like that, not in the community. And as far as outside of the community, no, I don't, nobody does that. So.
And so when you're talking about being in a community, this is part we didn't cover in the beginning. Are you involved in any other alternative like sexual stuff, BDSM things and stuff like that? Or are you talking about just your basic community of friends that you kind of cruise around and do things with?
Now I have a BDSM community that I belong to, and with a bunch of amazing people that are open-minded, non-judgmental, But
Sweet.
even within that community, I still reserve some things,
Sure.
But yes, a great community, they experience things and stuff like this that, and that's what's opened up my eyes to a lot of this as well. So yeah, it's through the community that I learned about it, and it's through the community that my curiosity grew.
And it
So
was women in the community that wanted to violate your ass.
you got it,
Now I understand.
and I felt like in the beginning, I'm like, what the hell, man? Why do women want to fuck my ass? And then, then I finally opened my mind up a little bit after reading about it, and because that's what drove me to reading about it, And then once I started reading some stories about how much men enjoy this and stuff like that, and then once I saw a few videos, I was like, okay, this is going to be interesting. And when I tried it, I was like blown away. So now I know why they wanted to fuck my ass. So they wanted to please me, is what it was.
Well, I think there's some women that really enjoy doing it just because it's a rush. It's a dominant rush. And they like running the fuck. They like being in control. And certainly there's an element of that for my experience of it. But there's also, like you mentioned, the giving of pleasure. There's nothing quite like being able to send a guy to the moon. It's just such a cool feeling. And your partner, what she mentioned about the noises that you make and the looks on your face, that's it. That's like crack for me, man.
Yes.
There is a look on a man's face that is nothing like anything I've ever seen when you very first penetrate him. And it's this kind of open, vulnerable surprise. There's awe, and there's just such a tenderness in that look as well that it just blows my mind. Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, that look of initial penetration, you know, when you're going through the very first part of the anus, that's the most sensation right there. You know, it's kind of, that's when the look happens. And and she knows that, so she likes to stick around that area after I'm warmed up a little bit.
Well, but, yeah, okay, after you're warmed up a little bit, because you mentioned before how you like to kind of go fast in the insertion because it's a little difficult
right.
for you.
Yeah, after a little while, though, you know, hanging out towards the outer part there is not too bad. But, I mean, you still got that intense sensation, but it's more pleasurable than the initial entry.
You can also choose toys that will alter that experience, as I'm sure you're aware, just looking at the physics of it, because you mentioned that the toy you have is a bigger head, and many of them are built that way with the bigger head to resemble a penis or to just have a thing on the end, and even if it doesn't look realistic. But there are definitely toys out there that don't have that pronounced head that wouldn't give you that sensation. Personally, when I receive anal, I enjoy the feeling of the head clearing, because right after it clears, there's this intense pleasure, but also the relief that you mentioned. You actually said that word.
Yes, I did. I love that.
Yeah, me too. And there's something about that that is just like, oh my God, okay, I'm there. I've arrived.
Yep.
You know?
Yep, it's in. I can add something for you in here.
Absolutely.
We have recently looked into purchasing a double. So one that fits in the harness for myself, and that also penetrates her, because she's stimulated, but not as much as she would like to.
I see. So, right. You're kind of cranking that up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at, again, on Pegging Paradise, we're looking at the options there, and we're going to, you know, pick probably, what was it called? It was the... that Fuse Tango with the little vibrator in it.
That actually has the same name, the Tango, yes.
Yes, yes. And we're going to try that out because we've heard amazing things about it. So,
doubles are really fun, and I'm so glad that you guys did it in this order. Because, you know, both of you hanging out at Pegging Paradise, I'm sure you heard me say over and over again that people buy the doubles the very first time. And it's really kind of an advanced toy because, you know, the woman has to learn how to fuck first. And so many guys are so unused to just laying back and relaxing and allowing the woman to run the fuck that they get all like, well, sort of feeling guilty about it even. Sort of like, well, I need her to get something out of it too. You know, they're uncomfortable with just receiving. And they want to make sure that she gets something out of it. Also because they want to make sure she enjoys it.
Right.
But that is definitely an added level of complexity, but sounds like you guys are ready for it now.
Yeah, I think so. We're getting ready to make that purchase, and we'll be enjoying that soon.
So you can come back and do another show with me after you've used the double. Or just write me and I'll read it on my podcast.
It sounds great.
So since you've started doing the pegging, have you included more anal play with your solo sessions? You know, is it something that you really enjoy including every time you masturbate, or has that changed at all?
I wouldn't say that I do it every time I masturbate, but I will probably about once a week or so when I'm masturbating. I'll use the Tantus, and, you know, just for that extra feeling.
So here's a question. Your partner that you're dating, are you guys living together at all?
No, we're not. And she lives probably about an hour away. So we get together maybe once a week or every 2 weeks.
Got it. So if you can kind of put your mind in the space of envisioning living with someone who you also enjoy pegging with, and you had the freedom to enjoy that as often as you liked, how much would you want it? Like, you know, from a totally selfish point of view, like how often would you want that to happen?
I would probably go 2-3 times a week.
Yeah, see? I knew it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, and that's a cool question to think about, because it is, you know, strictly from a selfish point of view. It's like, well, how often are we going to have sex? But how often would I like that? And when guys first start doing the pegging, there's usually the swing of the pendulum, and it's like, oh man, I can't get enough of that.
Right.
And that's how you feel as well?
Yes. In the very beginning, that's when we first tried this. I mean, I tried it on myself, and then I had her try it on me. And then while she was gone, I was experimenting more, you know, trying to find different spots and positions, or, you know, trying to figure yourself out.
That is so smart, because that's actually the recommendation that I give, is for men to explore their own asses. And the comparison that I give is, would you want to have sex with a woman who has never masturbated before? Because it really pays to know your own body. And so to explore and do all kinds of different stuff, then when you've got that good communication in bed, you can say, you know, move your body a little bit this way and you'll hit that spot just right. And you can fine tune it. And it's just awesome.
Yep, exactly. And that's, we're very good communicators, so I have no trouble putting her in the right spot, or, you know, and she allows me to just guide her.
Sweet.
But she's very good on her own. She doesn't need much guidance.
So have you guys combined any kind of BDSM with the pegging yet?
Because
initially my mind just goes straight to tying him up and fucking him, you know. That's what I do.
Right. We haven't done any bondage that way. She has been itching to get me in a fuck swing, which I have been reluctant to, because that, since we don't have one, that would mean that we'd be at someone's house with other people around, and I'm kind of private about this still.
Got it.
So, and I think it's always going to be a private thing for me, except for, you know, adding another woman or two into the scene.
that sentence just makes me laugh. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
but no audience, you know.
I totally get that.
I don't want bleachers set up watching a show.
Yep. Well, those swings are awesome. I have one, and they cost about $600, but they're worth every penny. The kind that I have is one that is freestanding. So many people, when they hear about sex swings, assume that they're going to need a hard point hanging from the ceiling and that kind of thing. And there's a whole bunch of those. But what I really wanted to do, not having a good spot for a hard point, I wanted to have a swing that I could set up. And so it has a freestanding frame that's quite sturdy. But the cool thing about it as well is that you can break that baby down and take it wherever you want.
Oh,
so
sweet.
It's really cool. Yeah. So yeah, I'll send
put
you
it under
the
bed.
In fact, I'll put the link on the Linkorama for all of you listeners out there. It is a sex swing that I really highly recommend. I've been so satisfied with it. I think they ship it out of Palm Desert. There's a store down there. And it was initially designed for gay sex. So, hey, perfect. So after all of this, Mark, what would you tell other men and other women who are thinking about trying pegging? What advice would you give them? What would you tell them about encouraging them, or what it's like, or, you know, what would you say?
Well, as far as for the men, I would say to find a small toy, or have your lady give you, you know, finger your ass and see how you enjoy that. You know, and all it takes is one. You don't have to put two or three in there. Just one finger your ass, and see how you like it. And then if you like it, then move up to a toy and try that on yourself and start figuring out what spots turn you on or what you like about it. And then communicate with your partner and let them know what you like about it. As far as the women, I would say take it slow and easy. And go at your partner's speed. You know, don't try to take control and just pound the shit out of them, because then it's not gonna be pleasant for the man. So,
well, it can be, but certainly not the first time.
Not the first time, no. It'll turn them off to it, you know.
So the very first time that you did any kind of anal exploration, did you have that sensation of not a whole lot of pleasure and just sort of, I have to go. There's something in there and I have to take a crap. Did you have that?
No, I, you know, I like getting receiving massages, and I've had some anal play with the finger done before,
uh-huh.
you know, and I've always enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
As far as cleanliness and stuff goes, I have since purchased one of those little, like, water enema things,
uh-huh.
you know, to clean yourself out with, because I like being very, very clean.
Sure.
Although you don't really need it, because when you're lubed properly and everything, you stay pretty clean, you
mm-hmm.
know. But I just like going that extra mile and making sure that, you know, I'm clean.
Got it. So you got like the bulb syringe thing?
You got it, yes. Yeah. And that feeling in itself is pretty nice. So
there's some inspiration to clean out.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice warm water. You know, it's just, uh-huh. Yeah.
That's funny. I got all excited the last show that I went to. And when I say show, I mean the NMA show, not NIMA for you listeners. I always have to get really specific about that. ANME stands for Adult Novelty Manufacturers Expo. Anyway, there was this way cool bulb syringe in there. And the special things about it was that it had a longer silicone nozzle, so you could really get up in there. Not really long, because you don't need it to be that long. But the point that it was silicone is that you can then sterilize that after you're done. But the way cool thing about this bulb syringe was that it had a check valve on it so that it never sucked water back into the bulb, because that's water that's dirty, right? And so, yeah, brilliant design. It's totally cool. I'll put the link on the Linkorama for you listeners on that one, because it's like the Cadillac of bulb syringes.
So with all of our play and everything, she had mentioned that she likes to be penetrated in her ass as well. So
uh-huh.
I was fortunate enough to have a harness that I could penetrate her in both her anus and her pussy. So,
oh, so you did like dual penetration.
You got it. And
dude,
her orgasm was, it was just amazing. The sounds that came out of her were incredible. And since then we've done that too. We kind of incorporate that into not just pleasing me, but pleasing her as well in that aspect.
Sure. So in terms of penetrating her anally, is there anything about it that you do a little bit differently? Because I'm assuming, you know, in your life that you've penetrated a number of women anally. After your pegging experience, did you change anything that you do penetrating a woman anally?
Well, I know what it feels like. You know,
right.
I know the entry and stuff like that. So, you know, when she says go slow in the very beginning, I'm actually not going to. I'm going to get past that point, you know, the entry point, to where, she, you know, she goes, and then,
mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And then she's like, I told you to go slow, but you're right. It does feel better that way. I'm like, okay. So she's learning too. And by me doing that with her, she learns more about how to do it with me.
Sure. Interesting. Yeah, one of the things that I wrote about in an article that's been read a zillion times about introducing your partner to it, and it's an article written for the men about how to talk mm-hmm. to your woman about it. I kind of got called on something initially when I first put that article out, because I talked about women who receive anal. Well, you've kind of got a foot in the door already, because at mm-hmm. least they're open to that. I mean, certainly partners who don't want anything to do with any kind of anal play, that would be the hardest one and mm-hmm. not likely to happen. But if a woman already accepts anal play, then it's not that much of a reach to then turn it around and ask her to do anal play on you. Then you only have a certain other category of fears and misconceptions to deal with, but not that one. But mm-hmm. I didn't really save any space for women who really don't like any kind of anal play, but they're more than happy to play with your ass and peg you.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody called me on that, so I had to add it to the article, because absolutely there's women out there that really don't want to have anything to do with anybody in or around their ass, but they'll be happy to peg you. So I mm-hmm. want to save space for that verbally while we're doing this. But it's nice mm-hmm. that you guys go back and forth.
Yes.
So why do you think that there's this, all the stigma around pegging? Why do you think, like in your guy group, you know, if guys ever talk about it, or if, you know, they're joking about getting fucked or whatever in that way that sort of demeans other men, does that happen in like your guy group or work or wherever?
Well, in my group, the social group that I belong to, it probably wouldn't even be a big deal if I brought it up and had discussions.
The SM community, yeah.
Yeah. It'd be a lot less awkward, you know, especially even with the straight guys. They would know that, hey, man, you know, this is a open-minded community here. You know, they're not going to put judgment on you or, you know, have a stigma against it. As far as work and stuff like that goes, I wouldn't even probably experiment with going there.
Even bring it up.
Yeah. It seems like the people that are not in these communities seem very close-minded about sex, or, you know, they're more of the traditional type.
Yeah.
People. But that's at work. You know, that's they may be kinky in their own way, but they're not going to display or let you know that at work. They're not going to do that with coworkers and stuff like that unless they know you're that way.
Yeah.
And then they might approach you and say, hey, you know, I noticed that, you know, you had a fogger in the back of your car, and, you know, are you into, you know, I mean, there would have to be some kind of a sign or something that would prompt them to think that you were in that community, or, you know, and they would have to be too.
Sure.
But yeah, at work, it's kind of taboo. You know, keep that professional. And that's why I belong to the community that I belong to.
I know exactly how you feel. I'm, you know, at this point in time, being the whole Ruby Rider thing, I'm surrounded by open-minded people. I have a thriving and lovely BDSM community that I really enjoy being connected with. And online, I'm associated with all the sex educators. And so all of these really open-minded people are around me. And sometimes I forget. Sometimes I do. And I have a t-shirt that I got from Reed Mahalko. He's a relationship coach. And the t-shirt says Sex Geek on it, right? And sometimes I just put it on and I go to the store and I kind of forget, right? And it's not a huge deal, but you know, people give me second looks and then I'll go, oh, right, I'm wearing the shirt.
That's
and then
right,
people
yeah.
like the checker, Yvonne's or something, will be like, I like your shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then that's one way to find out information on people.
Open up conversation about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, not in the grocery line, but yeah. So if you could choose one word to encapsulate the whole pegging experience, what would that word be?
Amazing.
Lovely word. I haven't had anybody say that one. I like it.
Yeah, it's an amazing feeling. You know, I could understand that, you know, it's not for everyone, but for me, it's amazing. The first experience was the best, you know, and then after that, I mean, I'm not saying that my other experiences weren't great, but the first experience of having someone else do that to me was amazing.
And was it so amazing mostly because you didn't have to run things and you could just lay there and receive pleasure?
You got it. I'm a receiver.
Oh.
I mean, I'm a giver too, but I love to receive and to just relax and not think about anything, not have to move my hands or anything like that. Just lay there and relax was great.
When I teach my class, I talk about how most women don't have a clue what it really takes to fuck somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I mention is multitasking. And man, some women just have no idea really what kind of focus that takes. Because I've been in situations where I've had a guy in a swing and I've been fucking him and I have been reaching up with one other hand and tweaking his nipple and then jerking him off all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And you know, men do this all the time. And we're like, yeah, this is great. Do more. But then we don't really realize what it takes. It's like, man, okay, I got the focus happening. And also, women aren't ever going to realize the true extent of multitasking that men go through because we don't have to keep it hard. And we don't have to make sure we have a good time, but we don't have too good of a time and come too soon and end everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I have a lot of respect, clearly, for the whole fucking thing because the whole thing of fucking because it involves a whole lot of effort, and that doesn't mean it's not a fun time because I'm a giver, so I really enjoy that part of it. But wow, so I can see why it would be such a lovely thing to just lay back and not have to do anything.
Yeah, and focus on the enjoyment and the sensations that, you know, that are happening.
Yeah, and let her run the fuck.
You got it.
Well, thank you, Mark. I so appreciate you coming sharing your story with me. And the one thing that I think I was sitting here listening to you talk about it, and I realized I never asked, how old are you?
I'm 46.
Okay. I just wanted to throw that in at the end because a lot of times I'll ask people, how old are you? You know, what's your relationship status? And that was one little piece of information that I forgot. I always like to put it out there for my listeners because there's such a variety of ages that are into this. So It's cool when the people listening can go, hey, that's my age. Maybe I should check that out, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not something that I really thought about when I was younger. And then now that I experienced it, I wish I would have.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah.
It's like, damn it, all those years I could have been doing this.
Exactly.
So have fun with those tangos.
Will do.
And with your partner. And once again, Mark, thank you so much. I always am humbled and have so much gratitude for people who are willing to come and share their personal stories because it helps all of us. It personalizes it to have a guy come and or a woman come and tell their story about what it was like. Really helps, you know, tear down all those taboos and stuff and the fears and misconceptions. So, yes, I'm very grateful for you doing this.
And I thank you very much for the all the articles and everything on Pagan Paradise that have, you know, made it to where we felt comfortable or I felt comfortable doing this and then helping her with, you know, understanding a lot of questions that she may have had too.
Thank you. That's my goal, is to put the information out there so that people can come and learn all about it on the website and get so much information through the website and the podcast that then they're ready to do it. So I love that that's exactly what happened with you guys. That's so cool. All right. Take care, Mark.
All right. Take care. Thank you, Ruby Rider.
Absolutely. I hope you enjoyed that interview, everybody. I had a really good time with Mark recording it. And that is it for this time. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. I also offer pegging101.com. That has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both iPhones and Androids. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, please remember to use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. No question is too simple, too strange, or too silly. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. You rock. Happy pegging, too.